Okay, let's go through today's sugya about the Maisa b'chassid echad. And the reason why this story is interesting is because many times when we come across an agarata, we're not always so sensitive. We don't even think to raise any questions of halacha that come out. We think it's a story, and the story perhaps has no impact on us. Maybe there's some deeper meaning that we don't understand here. So what's interesting about this story is that there are a number of halachas that are very relevant, a number of questions that the post can have that we learn from this particular sugya. So the sugya is, just reading it outside, just to review, it's a ma'isa b'chassid echad, a certain chassid, which we'll see in a moment who that might be, and he gave a dinar erev Hashanah to an ani. He gave some money to an ani, which is, of course, a wonderful thing of tzedakah. But it was during the times of a famine, wasn't much to go around, and his wife got very upset at him, kicked him out of the house, and he decided to go to the Beis Kfaros that evening and sleep. And while sleeping in the Beis Kfaros, he had overheard two different ruchos, two different spirits speaking, and he got a little insight what was going to be that year in terms of when the rain's going to come and whose farm's going to be affected. So he knew exactly when to plant that year. So he figured he had a successful year. He made some money. His wife won't be upset at him fighting about Parnassa. So the next year he did the same thing and heard the spirits speaking, and again he figured out when exactly to plant the following year as well. So this is the discussion. And the difficulty that the Marsha has among all the, not all, but many of the other Achronim is, the Gemara tells us, Bava Kamma and Temura, that whenever it says Chassid Echad in the Gemara, it refers to one of two people. It's either Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, or it refers to Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava, two of which are tremendous Chassidim and Tzadikim. So how is it possible, asks the Marsha, that such Chassidim would sleep in the Beis Kfaros the night of Rosh Hashanah, B'yechidus? The Gemara tells us it's the Makam of Tumah. Gemara Chagi tells us that a person is a shote if he sleeps in the night in the Beis Kfaros. So how could they sleep in the Makom Tumah ever, and certainly the night of Rosh Hashanah? That's his question. And in light of that question, that difficulty, that such tzaddikim could do that, he said it must be that this is a dream. It can't be true. This couldn't be true. And such tzaddikim would never do this. I remember when he came back from Eretz Yisrael just a few weeks ago, he was visiting the Beis Kfaros in Har Menuchos, and it was very, very hot. And then he went to a few of Rav David Lifshitz's kever he went to. Then he saw not too far away was a Chida's kever, but it had one of those houses. So he went inside to get some get this air conditioning inside. So he went and he sat down, and then he heard, ooh! And he realized he was someone was sleeping on the bench in the Chida's kever. He sat on the guy. So it's not something that normal people do, is sleep in the Beis Kfaros. Certainly not Rav Yehuda Bar Ilai and Rav Yehuda Ben Bava.
That's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and America.
So he concludes it must be that this was a dream. It's not a true story. It was a chalom. He had a dream about this whole discussion. Maybe it's true, he says, that we do know that Yehuda ben Bar Ilai was an ani. He did not have so much money, the Gemara tells us in Nidarm. And perhaps his wife did kick him out of the house, but he didn't sleep in the Beis Kfaros. He was just so overwhelmed by the fighting that was going on in his house. So this is the dream he had. And the dream did take place out of Rosh Hashanah, he thought. Leil Rosh Hashanah, because that's a place, that's a time where the chalomos are so intense, and we have other gemaras that the Marsha points out that they can be overwhelming, such dreams in Leil Rosh Hashanah. But the fact that he slept in Beis Kfaros isn't true.
How are we supposed to know that they were fighting? Was that like a Rashi somewhere that we...
No, the word it says v'hiknito means that they were fighting. She's getting very upset at him. That's what the word means in the Gemara. Okay. So now, the Ritva writes... Ritva writes in Gemara Bava Basra. The Gemara Bava Basra talks, there's a number of interesting stories in the Gemara Bava Basra about waves being really big, and then frogs, and how, you know, cities of 60, a frog like swallowing up a city of 60 houses, very strange things. So what the Ritva writes is that all these strange maisim that take place in this parak in Bava Basra, in Mochas Asvina, it was a dream. It was a chalomos that they were having. These things don't happen in nature, and therefore it must all be dreams. So he explains that when Chachamim go out, they go in the ship, they go overseas somewhere traveling, or they go to do hispodidus in the forest all by themselves, the big mountains, the big fields. They're just overtaken, their mind, their imagination is taken elsewhere. And they end up having these dreams that might be true, but they don't see these huge waves. It just takes them into another planet. And that's what's going on in all these strange agaritas throughout Shas, he says. And he quotes from the Gaon, a very interesting klal. Whenever you see in the Gemara that says, Lididi Chazili, to me, Chazili, it appeared to me, that's an indicator that it was a chalom, it was a dream. So whenever you see in the Gemara saying Lididi Chatilia, it means it was a dream. Don't take it literally. So according to this right now, according to the Marsha, according to the Ritva, this is all a dream. There's no shilas you can ask, no halachic shilas. This is all a dream. This never really happened. The Tzlach, the Nod Yehuda, also doesn't think this happened, but he's a little bit of a different twist as to how to understand the basic kfaros, so sleeping in the cemetery. So he explains that Olam Hazeh is a kupruzdar b'fnei Olam Haba, right? Olam Haba is the goal. We're trying to get to the Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh is the entrance to the hallway to get to Olam Haba. So we're in this world, we're in the pruzdar, the temporary place, waiting outside, waiting till the time comes when Mikimut Hashem entered to Olam Haba. This is Derech Mashal. Obviously, the Olam Hazeh is not really a pruzdar, and the world to come is Olam Haba is not really a palace. It's just a mashal for us to understand what's going on. But he says further that the kever is mamish, the entranceway. We're in Olam Hazeh, we go through the kever, that's really when you get near the last line, that's when you're about to cross that line in the base kfaros. And this chassid, whether it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli or Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, was always viewing this world, always involved in iske Olam Haba. That's what he's always involved in, never focused on Olam Hazeh at all. But this time, when he had gotten his wife very upset, because he gave their last penny, nothing left, Erev Rosh Hashanah. It was a famine. No one was making any money that year. So then he started, he felt humbled and he felt the responsibility of being a husband and a father, and there's no money left. So therefore, he says, he started to allow his machshava to start thinking of Olam Hazeh world now, even though his whole life he didn't. He was all kulul Hashem. He was all about ruchni. It's all about learning and davening and Olam Haba. But now, because things got so bad in the house, he had to start worrying about Parnassah as well, which is, of course, involvement of Olam Hazeh. And that's called a pruzdar. And that's what it means he slept in the base kfaros, because the base kfaros was the makom pruzdar. That was the final entranceway into Olam Haba. So now he was leaving Olam Haba. He was leaving that world of his. He's going to the base kfaros, which, of course, is the end of the hallway. That's what was going on here. But this was not really a real story to be taken literally. They slept overnight in the base kfaros. So again, he's similar to the Marsha and the Ritva, but they say it was a dream. And the Tzach says it was just his mindset. Not he was dreaming. His mindset was now to be more focused on Beis Kfaros and Yanim, to be more focused on Olam Hazeh. Now there's an interesting tshuva I found that came across in the Masifta quotes. This tshuva is Beis Hasharim. I didn't look up who he was. But he discusses, there's a Gemara that tells us that Chayv Adam Latahir Atzmo Kodem HaRegel, or Baregel. Person has to, sorry? Oh, they have it from on Hebrew books. They have these things. So he was dealing with the question that Gemara tells us that a person needs to be Tahar himself. Let's say a person were to be Tameh. You have to be Tahar. Make sure you become Tahar before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Tov. I should say before the Regel. It says Regel means Shlosh Regalim. It means Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos. And it means for us, Bizman Hazeh, a person ideally is brought down to go to the Mikvah beforehand, before the Shlosh Regalim. So he wants to know, what about Rosh Hashanah? Is Rosh Hashanah, does that also have that same halacha of becoming Tahar? The line is litar asmo berega. Rega means whenever you have to do a li l'regel, go up to Har Bais, which is three times a year. That's only Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So he wasn't sure about Rosh Hashanah. That was his shaila. So he ends up concluding that even in Rosh Hashanah, one should have to be metahar himself, become tahor before Rosh Hashanah. So in light of that halacha that he paskins based on other svarim, how is it possible that this chassid echad went to the Beis Kfaros, to a Makom Tumah, on Rosh Hashanah itself? That seems to go against this klal of Chayv Adam L'tar Atzma Berega. So he answers, the end of that paragraph, he answers an interesting...
I'm sorry, you said Rosh Hashanah is in the same category as the...
Rosh Hashanah is in the same category, and one would have to be Matar himself. The question then becomes, how could this individual sleep in the Beis Kfaros on Rosh Hashanah, in a Makom Tumah, Tumas Meis? So he answers, it must be a situation where he went to the Beis Kfaros. Again, a little difficult to understand this, but he went in perhaps when he was in a box. He's protected. The Gemara is talking about many places. If you place him in a box, a teva of some sort, he'll be protected. There's a chatzitz around him that the tuma cannot penetrate through. So he went in a box. So not
you
only
did
he
that today, right?
No.
Don't the people in a box?
I haven't seen in a while, right? They used to, right?
Okay, I don't know. Either way, the case was where this person didn't sleep stam in the Beis Kfaros. He slept within a box in the Beis Kfaros and therefore protected himself from becoming tamei. And or perhaps then he suggests maybe it's a situation where he already was tamei. Let's say he was Tameh a couple days before Rosh Hashanah. So to become Tahar from Tumas Meis, you need 7 days. He wasn't able to make it in Rosh Hashanah. He got Tameh for whatever reason 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. He couldn't purify himself. So therefore, it doesn't hurt to go become Tameh again in Rosh Hashanah because he already is Tameh. Yeah? Is it, if a guy's already Tameh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such an, I don't know.
Shouldn't make it worse.
Uh-huh. Okay. So either way, so that's another shayla that comes up. How could a person become Tameh in Rosh Hashanah? Is a halacha, you have to become Tahor. Another interesting thing, yeah.
I understand that person doesn't think it's a dream.
Now, according to this understanding, they take this Gemara literally, right? They take the Gemara literally. Some do. We'll see others who do this as well. But again, if it's a dream, there's no questions at all. But once this person starts asking questions, how could you do this, how could you do that, it's implying that they assume that this was a real Maisa.
When you're a Baal Tshuva like I'm still on, they keep telling us that this stuff is so exact. How come we don't really get it?
Get what?
What really happened?
What we're saying, what we're trying to figure out, what really happened. Some say it didn't really happen, and then it's just a dream, and there's some deep things going on here. But those who think it's a literal this story, so then we have all these shilas. Okay.
No, but I'm saying our tradition is supposed to be so clear. This is not clear at all.
Okay. Now what the different poskim start to ask the question is as follows. The Hagos Yavetz in the back of the Gemara asks, he says, when this individual, this chassid slept in the base kfaros, he says, Lo neskavin chalila lahashos alav ruach tuma. Chas v'shalom, did this chassid intend and have any ruach, darshening from the ruach, from any of these spirits? Because it's an issur d'oraisa, the pasuk says, Dorish el hamesim. There's an issur d'oraisa for a person to seek out advice, ideas from the mesim. So he obviously wasn't in the base kfaros to learn anything, because that's an issur d'oraisa. And certainly he didn't starve himself, because apparently the way this works, they starve themselves, that helps them being able to attract the ruchos and the spirits in some way. Certainly that was not the intention of this chassid to be Dorish el hamesim. That would be an issur d'oraisa, of course. Could be, yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm not holding in these in Yana. I know it's us. Whatever it is, however they get there, it's us. So this person, he should not have, and he wasn't, being Darshel HaMesim. So what was he doing in the Beis Paros? What exactly was he doing there? So we answered some questions already. Okay, right, perhaps it was a dream. But now if we take this literally, what in the world was he doing in the Beis Paros? What was he trying to accomplish here? So if he's trying to be Darshel HaMesim and to seek out advice and hear the spirits, how is he going to make money this coming year to figure out when the plagues are going to come? That's an issur d'oraisa. So what the Yavetz explains, what he suggests is, since he got into a fight with his house, with his wife, and his house was empty, there's no parnasa, so he decided to go to the Beis Kfaros because he felt like Chashuv Kames. The Gemara tells us in Tainis, and the halacha is, in Hilchos Tainios, and Tisha B'Av, many do this, you go to the Beis Kfaros and not Tainis. We're supposed to be humbled. Where's the greatest place to feel humbled? You go to a place to realize that we're mortal. We also have our time in this world. We're ultimately all going to die. So they go to the Beis Kfaros. That's how he felt. He felt like a mace. He had no money. The Gemara in Nedarim tells us that there are few people who are Chashuv Kames. One of them is an Ani, who's Chashuv Kames. He felt like the mace. He wanted to really feel that. So he went to the Beis Kfaros. Chas v'shalom to be Dorish el Hamesim. Nataki did hear some spirit speaking back and forth, but that wasn't his intention. He didn't starve himself. He didn't take any other drugs to make him feel in a different world. He just slept there because he wanted to be Chashuv Kames.
Chafetz Chaim used to do that, no?
So the halacha of the Raisa wouldn't be just happen to have hear in the conversation. It would be the Medarish, the Mason.
Right, exactly. The Isser, so according to him, Isser would be, if you're seeking out, that's your goal, to be Dorish, to seek them out. But if you happen to overhear what they're saying, and you didn't go through the process, whatever it takes to get to that starving yourself or any other drugs, then that wouldn't be an Isser, it seems, right? According to the Yavetz.
But the next year, he went
right.
Hear the voices.
Good
question. Right. So, it sounds like, from the Gemara, it's one of the postmen asks this question. So if he knew he was hearing the spirits, how could he do it again? No, the next year he did the same thing. It's also be Chashuv Kames.
Yeah.
So, happens to be he heard the spirits speak once again. But, right, so that would be a good question in the Yavetz, but it sounds like he just thought, oh, it was a good idea. I really, it was a humbling experience. Let me try that one more time. It happens to be he heard some other good advice for the upcoming year. So now the Beis Yosef also asks this question, and the Yireim asks this question, how could he be Dorish El Mesim, this particular chassid? So the Yavid says he wasn't. He was just trying to feel humble. But the Beis Yosef asks, first he quotes from the Sefer Yireim. The Yireim, Rabbi Elazar Mimintz, he was one of the Rishonim. He counted, he had one of the Moneh HaMitzvos, he counted the mitzvos. The number of Svarim we have, like the Rambam, has a Sefer Mitzvos, he counts his 613. We have the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Kedolos, counts his 613. We have the Smag, Sefer Mitzvos Kedolos. We have the Smak, Sefer Mitzvos Katan. The Rasag, Rav Sadia Gon. We have Sefer Zohar Rekia. A whole array of Rishonim who counted mitzvos. The Yireim is unique, that he, for some reason, doesn't count all 613 mitzvos. Now, he has to hold of that concept of 613, because the Gemara Mako says it, and the Midrashim that say there are 613. So for whatever reason, he did not do a full list. He has, I think, 400 and something mitzvahs. Okay. And in his Sefer there, he writes, in describing the Isser of Dorish El HaMesim, that you cannot seek any advice from the Mesim. So he asks this discussion here, how could it be that this Chassid slept in the Beis Kfaros, Le Rosh Hashanah, and he was seeking advice and listening to advice from the Ruchos speaking? How could it be possible? So he explained, very interesting, again, beyond our understanding. But he says, since he wasn't seeking advice from the guf al shemes, from the actual body, you know, the different parts of a person, there's the guf, and there's the neshama, and then there's the ruach, there's the nefesh really, the guf, let's say. He wasn't being dorish to the guf, the body himself. Rather, he's speaking to the ruchal, the spirit. And the ruchal is not called mes. That's what his klal is. So that's what he says, our gemar and brachos here, the osa chassid was seeking advice from the ruach. And that's what the Marsha, we didn't read this earlier, the Marsha seems to imply this. He says, the guf is the body, the physical that's dead, that's buried. The neshama goes to the elyonim. But the ruach is somewhere in the middle, it's going back and forth, up and down, up and down. So the ruach is able to figure out what's going on in the elyonim, but it's also able to come back down and report back. And I don't know why this is, but for some reason, the Sefer Yireim, who's one of the Rishonim, holds that the Isser is only to be Dorish El HaMesim, the Guf HaMes, but to be Dorish El HaRuchos, that's permitted, and that's what this Chassid was doing. He was Dorish El HaRuchos.
I'm just going to say, according to the Pshat and the Gemara, it doesn't say anything about Dorish. It just says they learned the Beis HaKvaros, with Shomash, they Ruchos, Shemsafis, was the... Why are they saying that he's Dorish El
HaMesim? So the question, the implicit question is, why did he go to the Beis HaKvaros? What was the reason for that? So his answer is, it must be he wanted to seek advice, to make money. Even though the Gemara doesn't say it. A lot of things we're saying here is not in the Gemara explicitly. None of this stuff is explicitly.
Right, I'm saying, but there's no like hint to it, I'm saying. It just says the Shema.
Even the Yavetz's answer, who says he went to sleep there to be Chashuv Kames. The Gemara doesn't say he went there to be Chashuv Kames. It just says he went to sleep.
Hold up for long. Basic work.
So he should have went to his neighbor, should have went to his parents, should have went somewhere else, should have been home. So there's obviously something the Gemara is not answering here. There's a gap we're trying to fill in here. But there's these questions that we're trying to figure out, why'd he do this? So the Gemara, they're trying to figure in, oh, maybe because Chashuv Kames, or maybe to be Dorish El HaMesim. That's what we're filling in. The Gemara doesn't tell us. That's what leaves us the questions. If everything was so clear, we wouldn't have any questions. It wasn't so clear what was going on here. So that's according to the Sefer Yireim. So again,
How's that different than people going to Kibbutz Tzaddikim and asking and begging and asking them for...
So good question. So that's a different topic about, do you daven, do you ask questions to the mace themselves or not? The Gemara in Tainus says, that you are yuvaksha from the mason. You actually ask from the mason themselves, which of course is a huge discussion. We normally assume, Gemara in Tainus. Right, so the Gemara says you actually... You're yivakshei rachmim from the mesim, the Gemara says. You actually ask bakashas from the mesim themselves. So this becomes a whole huge discussion. So we normally assume you don't ask questions to the mesim. They don't do anything for you. You ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You ask them to be meilutz yosher, to perhaps, you know, to plead for you and on your behalf ask for you, to represent you. But ultimately, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one we're asking from. But there are certain svarim that speak about also asking directly to the mason, whatever that means. It's not being dorish el mason. It's not asking advice from them. It's asking them to help grant you a certain tefillah. Again, a different topic. We're assuming, the way I was taught was that we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and simply you're davening by the Kibbutz Tzaddikim, either for to be meitz yosher, to represent you, or just happen to become a makom kadosh. The Beis Kfaros can be a makom kadosh. It's a place that's unique for davening. Like the Maras Machpelah is a makom kadosh. So we daven there. Now we're asking Avraham Avinu to give us anything. We're asking Hashem, but that's a place where, especially Maras Machpelah, the Zohar says, all tefillahs actually go through Maris Machpelah. They become Makom Kadosh.
It's really odd because last night an assistant to the Lubavitcher Rebbe was speaking, and I asked him this very question. And he tried to make it very clear that you're not praying to the Rebbe, that you're praying to God. Right. He like stopped me. He said, I didn't imply, I didn't say, and he was there being very. All of a sudden, he like.
Right, but there's a Gemara.
Saying, no,
right, there's a Gemara.
There's a Gemara
right.
in Tana.
Yeah, but we typically don't take that literally, though. We don't take that literally. Okay.
What page? Do you know?
I think someone quoted here even maybe Tezvav or Tezayim. Should I find it for you afterwards? Okay, let's go by it. The Beis Yosef says he doesn't like this pshat at all. If you're being dorish to the mace, if you're being dorish to the ruach, I don't care what you're being dorish to. If he's dead, that's an issur of dorish to the mace. So the question becomes: so what in the world is this guy doing?
He's saying there's no differentiation there's between issur. Guf and ruach.
It's always an issur deraisa. It's an issur deraisa whether it's the guf, whether it's the ruach. It's all an issur deraisa. So then, what in the world was this guy doing?
Who is this again?
The Beis Yosef. What in the world was this guy doing? This also chassid doing in the Beis Kvaros. Again, according to the Yavetz, he was there to be chashuv kames. He wanted to be humbled. According to the Yireim, he was there to seek advice from the ruach. Beis Yosef says, "No, you have it all wrong. Just think very baal batish." The guy gets kicked out of his house. His wife kicks him out. Where is he going to go? Where in the world is he going to go? Is he going to walk to his friend's house and my wife kicked me out of the house? Is he going to walk to his parents' house? It's embarrassing. So the safest place to go is the Beis Kvaros. No one's going to catch him there. He was embarrassed. That's what the Beis Yosef says. He ran away from there. And while he was there, sleeping over there, he happened to overhear. So Rucho is going on. It was a safe place to avoid any embarrassment. That's what the Beis Yosef says. He was a chassid echad, but even a chassid echad gets into fights with his wife. He was also chassid, he was. Again, it could be that his wife, I'm speaking about this on Shabbos, the Hashkafashir, about machlokism and fights with wives and spouses and other people. But it's possible that maybe he did nothing wrong. He gave a tzedakah. He gave a tzedakah to an ani. And the wife got upset at him. Sometimes people are in relationships where the wife is a very strong-minded person. So he didn't have a choice. It wasn't his decision. His wife was upset, threw him out. He was a humble individual. He was mevater.
Right.
Give up.
That's why right.
She was yelling at him.
He's like, he had bitachon. Don't worry, Kosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us.
The wife was the last one in the house. Right. It wasn't the wife.
About the Yesra. Remember that story about the Yesra? The guy who was, some famous rabbi, had the children of the Baal Shem Tov, and he sold them for this asteroid, and then when he brought back the asteroid, his wife took the asteroid and threw it on the floor, and he just, it's quiet, the asteroid I don't have, the tone I don't have, I shouldn't have shalom bayis.
Right, exactly it. There you go. That's what he felt. It felt, I guess, for the shalom bayis, very good. That was the best thing for him to leave the house and go sleep somewhere else, based cross, where nobody would bother him. Nobody would be embarrassed. He wouldn't be embarrassed by anybody. Okay. Now, there's another shaila that comes up here as well. We're going through other interesting shailas that come from this gemara, that although it's a ganata, there are halachic questions that come up. So the Gilyoni HaShas of Yosef Engel asks the question, how could this be that this took place Leil Rosh Hashanah? How could it be the night of Rosh Hashanah that he's able to listen to the Rucha speaking about what's going to be for the upcoming year? The klal is that Ein Basin Shelmala Nichnasin Ladin, the upstairs Bezdin doesn't sit, Elim Kain Kidshu Bezdin Shelmata as a Chodesh, until we create when Rosh Hashanah is, when Rosh Chodesh is. And the klal is, we're not Mekadshin as a Chodesh Belaila. Rosh Hashanah doesn't begin at nighttime. Although we keep it and we daven Yom Tov, it's not really at nighttime because we can't be Mekadosh the month at night. So it's really the daytime. And that's when Yom HaDin also begins during the daytime. So this couldn't have taken place Leil Rosh Hashanah because we didn't know, there's no din yet for anybody to know, any ruchos to know what was going to be for the upcoming year. We weren't judged yet. We were in this, we were really part of last year's plan. This is the last night of last year. It's not until the morning that the Bezin Shamala convenes that they can figure out what's going on here. So, in light of that question, the Gilyoni HaShas, who apparently takes this Gemara seriously, says it must be that this took place Matzei Rosh Hashanah. After ready, the Bezdin Shalmata and the Bezdin Shalmala all convened, and they discussed what's going to be this year for each individual, what's going to be for the entire world, and then he was able to tap into those Ruchos on Matzei Rosh Hashanah after everything had already been decided. That's the Gilyon Eshas. If you go to the next page, top of the next page, he writes at the very top line, B'matzeh Rosh Hashanah. He goes on to explain a little bit further. Okay. That's where he writes this.
What's the point of the question?
The question is, Leil Rosh Hashanah, the first night of Rosh Hashanah.
Well, that I understand. Right. What is the significance of this? We read in there, this is a Rosh Hashanah, he's making a correction, he says it wasn't the night of, it was the next night. Meaning, he's taking it literally,
taking the story literally, but the date is incorrect. The date is incorrect because it can't be possible on the first night of Rosh Hashanah that the Ruchos or anybody else knows what's going on for the
does
couple
that
of years.
The dream theory?
No, this portion is
literal theory?
He had a dream. It sounds, no, not a dream. He took this literally, that this really happened.
This angle.
Yeah, he took it literally. He's just saying the date was incorrect.
So?
That's all.
What do we learn from that?
Well, not nothing. You're just explaining the Maisa here. I guess really no halacha from this, I guess. Right? I guess.
Also, just be that they're starting with them. It wasn't sealed, but it was beginning. Because they don't really fit in with the wording of the Gemara.
Right.
I think maybe, that night they started.
The discussion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, discussion, and then,
It could be, but nothing. If nothing was decided, then they can't know what was going to be for the upcoming year. It sounds like the Ruchos knew what was going to be for the year. So even though this discussion may have started, whether it did or did, I don't know.
You could have found out in the morning.
Yeah, the morning, they would have known. They would have known in the morning.
I've never seen it in the Gilyon Eshas over here. Where is this?
No, Gilyon Eshas is different. Rav Yosef Engel is different. Right? Gilyone Eshas is different than the Gilyon Eshas.
What does Gilyon or Gilyone mean?
It means like comments on the side. On the Gilyon. The Gilyon is like the margin, yeah. Okay. Now let's finish with this last piece. I think it's 6:35 is davening today, right? 6:40. Oh, 6:40, okay. So then we'll have two more pieces. We'll do Shema Shmuel. The Shema Shmuel writes in number 9 here. Read this inside, I guess, this last Mar Mokum, and then I'll tell you what the Chassam Sofer writes. I should have brought mine from home. They have one here, but they're missing that Chelek.
Yeah.
But the Shema Shmuel writes, number 9 here, Ulfi ha'amor yesh lefarish ha'da amru zal, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, that ain bezin shemala nichnasin ladin elam kain kitchu bezin shemata. It's a chodesh, right? The bezin shemala doesn't convene until we decide down here when Rosh Hashanah is, when Rosh Chodesh is.
Same idea.
Exactly. Same question. The kiddush chodesh ubayom, and it only takes place during the daytime, not at nighttime. Im kain, he asks the question. Eich is pardon nesu devashas brachos. How could they say in the Gemara brachos daf yud ches our Gemara b'maisa dechasid echad charuchos hishmiu belayla sheRosh Hashanah. Masha Nigzer Bishmaim. Our question, how could the Ruchos speak about what was going to be ready decreed for the upcoming year, the night of Rosh Hashanah, if the Bezin Shemal didn't meet yet, they didn't decide anything yet? Our question, Ulufid Vareinu, what he was saying, Hanal, what he mentioned earlier, we don't have here, but he's telling us what he's about to say. Yesh Lefarish, you could explain as follows. Hod De'ein Bezin Shemal Nichnasin, that which Bezin doesn't convene, Bezin Shemal that is, Bezin Dafka, Mamish Bezin doesn't convene. Maybe perhaps similar to what Pini was saying. Dafka shilfneim omdim ha'mayminin lizachus uvavasma'ilim lichova. What it means is they used to have, however it works in Shemayim, they had the people on the right who were always saying lizachus, that they should be innocent, and you had the malachim on the left who were saying lichova, they should be guilty. Again, whatever that imagery is supposed to mean to us. V'heim heim maskirin es kol ma'isa b'nei adam. They start saying, well, that person did this, and they start speaking about all the different actions that every one of us did. That's what it means, that Basin Shemal didn't convene, that you didn't have the Malachim on the right, the Malachim on the left. That didn't get together yet until the daytime. So that's true. Veinim Yodim El Mashil Fneim Begali. They only know whatever has been revealed to them, these Malachim. They're told what to do. So Reuven did this, he says he should be guilty. But then he says, but Reuven also did that, he should be innocent. And back and forth. That whole discussion, that Basin Shemal, that's what we refer to, that whole gathering of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim. That doesn't take place until we're Mekadesh Shecholish in the daytime. The buddy says, going on to the next page of Val, Lo es ha-hesidus, the future, what's going to be, Shadain behelam davar mehem. These malachim don't see what's going to be in the future. They can't see the future. Malachim only know what happened already. Begalot. Imkain, if that's the case, Lo yitachin lekanes ledin el kishikichu bezin shamata, it's a cholish. It's only, they can only convene once Bezin Shemata creates the new month, creates the new year, the Rosh Hashanah. They don't know it's Yom HaDin yet until the morning time. When Bezin Shemata says, now it's Rosh Chodesh, now it's Rosh Hashanah, that's when they start running and gathering together. That's only on the daytime do they know that. But the night beforehand, they have no idea what's going to happen the next day. They don't know to get together the night of Rosh Hashanah, because it's not Rosh Hashanah until the next day. They only know what is explicit. Fine. Aval kishadayin lo niskala yom hadin, when it's not yet revealed when yom hadin is, ein atem yodei lavo lufnei bezdin. They don't know yet to come to Kadosh Baruch Hu to start discussing the din. V'chol zehu kishadin nechtach aydei bezdin. This whole discussion is when it comes to a din or halacha that's being decided by bezdin. Not every halacha, not every gezeira in this world is decided by bezdin. Shalat mala. Aval ha'inyanim she'kadosh baruch hu ba'atzmo dan, osam, any ideas, concepts, gzeiros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides on his own, without any of the malachim, that din, hu hadayin, hu ha'ed, hu ha'baldin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the judge, he's the aid, he's everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything on his own. And he, of course, does know what's going to be in the future. Beli ma'iminin ma'asmi'ilim, without the people on the right, without the malachim on the left, zeh yachol yos b'layla. That din, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging on his own, that can take place at night, because he knows that it is Rosh Hashanah, Kadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't need anything, but he doesn't have the Bezdin convene on those in Yanim.
What's the chilek? When is the Kadosh Baruch Hu banning on himself?
So how do you know? So the Shem Shmuel doesn't tell us which dinim are Kadosh Baruch Hu and which dinim are everybody else. It's possible that famine, when it comes to like a play that affects the world, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge on his own and make those decisions. On a more individual level, deciding, you know, for Reuven, what's going to be for him, then they gather the Bezdin together. Maybe. He doesn't say explicitly, that might be what he's trying to indicate here. So that's what the Shemesh Shmuel says is going on here. So it actually did take place Leil Rosh Hashanah, but it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was the one making the decision, as opposed to the Gilyoni Hashas of Yosef Engel, says, no, this took place Matzei Rosh Hashanah, after all the decisions already had been made. Interesting machlokas. Let's just do one last piece here, which I don't have in front of me, but I'll try to remember. Is the Chassam Sofer. He asks a question. Again, it would be much better if I had this inside. I apologize. For some reason, the Bar Ilan, where I get my sources from, the Tshuvo section, has not been working the past couple weeks. I tried emailing them to figure out why that is. But the Chassam Sofer had asked the question, how is a person allowed to sleep in the Beis Kfaros? The Beis Kfaros, no different than a shul, you can't do certain things. You can't sleep in a shul, and you can't sleep in a Beis Kfaros. Beis Kfaros has a certain din, Makom Kedusha. It's also Makom Tameh, but it's also Makom Kedusha. There's certain things.
Chacham can sleep in the shul.
That, exactly.
Learned this a couple of times.
Exactly. Very good, exactly. So, but his question is, how can you sleep in the Beis Kfaros? You can't walk around, you can't take a stroll in the Beis Kfaros. You can't eat in the Beis Kfaros, you can't drink in the Beis Kfaros. A Beis Kfaros is a Makom Kadosh to a certain extent. It's a Makom of Tefillah, like a Beis Knesset. How could he do this? So he answers to what David just said. Just like there's a heter for a Talmud Chacham who's learning all day to sleep in the shul, in the Beis Medrash, not the shul, a shul is different, to sleep in the Beis Medrash, and to eat in the Beis Medrash, and to drink in the Beis Medrash, and do whatever he wants in the Beis Medrash, so too a Talmud Chacham is able to sleep in the Beis Kfaros, and he could eat in the Beis Kfaros, and he could sleep in the Beis Kfaros, do whatever he wants, he could do the Beis Kfaros. And this, we're talking about a Chassid Echad, who is Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, so that's why this was permitted. Right, either way, we see from this interesting maisa here a whole long discussion of many questions that relate to halacha. Firstly, of course, we had a question whether or not this was true or not, whether this was a dream, or if it was really taken to be literally. And if it was supposed to be taken literally, we had a number of questions. Just to review quickly, the questions that we had was, what was he doing there in the first place? Why was he sleeping in the Beis Kfaros? We had a few answers. One is because he wanted to be chash of kemes. Number two is we suggested perhaps he was protected in some type of box. And then we suggest that maybe he was Dorish El HaRuchos, which is permitted. He wanted to seek advice from the Ruchos. And then we saw the Gilyoni Hashas, the Beis Yosef, he says he just had no place to be. He was kicked out of the house. That was the only place for him to sleep without being embarrassed. And then we saw Gilyoni Hashas and Shemesh Shmuel, which night this actually took place. Was it Leah Rosh Hashanah or was this Matzei Rosh Hashanah? And finally, Chassam Sofer said, how could a person sleep in the Beis Kfaros? It's also to sleep in a cemetery. To which he answered, if you're a Talmud Chacham, then you would be allowed to. Okay, we'll stop here. Pick up tomorrow, next week in Mirat Hashem.
He could have also been praying.